Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning and welcome to a gorgeous day. As I was driving in, I was like, whoa, so beautiful. So many more people out on the roads early this morning than typical, just because I think because it is so light and gorgeous and people wanted to get out there and enjoy it. Dr. Mixon, were you out on the trails early this morning?
I was out on the trails and, you know, it was lighter than usual. Maybe they were all on the road instead of on the trail.
I guess so.
Well, no, some of them were still in bed because some of them stayed up late last night to watch the Northern Lights. They were visible, I hear, till about 3 o'clock. I was not up till 3.
Okay.
But I heard that they were visible till about 3 o'clock in the morning. And they were, oh my God, spectacular.
Oh, I saw your phones on your picture and those were amazing.
Those are amazing.
It's got to be even wild.
We were like in bliss. Oh,
look at that.
And it's all in our backyard.
Yep. Wow.
It's right here. It was just fabulous. Fantastic.
Wow. So, more expected over the next few days?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll have to do some digging.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh. They said best time was after 11 last night till 3 a.m. this morning. And that's what happened to us. We were home and then, you know, we found out. So we drove out to kind of go look. And sure enough, but we didn't have to drive anywhere. We could have just stayed home and looked at the backyard.
Oh, wow.
But it was spectacular. So, yeah. Jerry, I wasn't up that early this morning.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
I was in bed early last night and I did not get up for the Northern Lights. But I was up at 4:45 this morning.
Okay.
Well, you just missed it then.
Whoa. That's right. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. So I'll have to do some homework today and have my husband wake me up. Hey, so wake me up. I want to go down
first,
to the beach.
Well, first listen
and
to the news and find out if
make
it's
sure,
be.
Make sure, yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, we did that on our honeymoon. We were in Alaska and the Northern Lights were there. And they would, the particular hotel we were in would give you a call if they could see it in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And so they did. And at 2 a.m, all these berobed folk were out and looking up to see the Northern Lights.
Wow, spectacular. Beautiful.
And we were out there for a half hour and we didn't see anything.
No.
We're all on our jams. We all went to bed. Back to bed. So, but the pictures you got, incredible.
Yeah.
So check that out, Northern Lights.
I'm just kind of a little disappointed in you that you're on your honeymoon.
Looking at the sky.
And looking for the Northern Lights instead of each other. But that's, you know, that's just me.
Hey,
anyway.
There we go. Well, you know, we couldn't go back to bed after being up for a half hour or so.
Okay.
Okay. So are you proud of me again?
I'm proud of you.
Okay.
Again.
Thank you. Well, believe it or not, this is Leading Edge Medicine. We always like to talk about the weather and things happening. And, yep. Oh, just a great group here this morning. Of course, Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat. And Dr. Umat, you got an award. Now, you won this last year.
Yep.
I think you need to go for 3 next year, too. But again, you are in the top 50 women leaders in medicine for 2024.
Yeah.
2023 and 2024. 2 years
in a row. I think you need to go for next year, but wow, congratulations. This is huge. We know her.
Well, thank you.
She's a celebrity. I love this.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You know, I tell everybody it takes a village.
Yep.
It's been a long, long journey and it's, you know, it's happy to be acknowledged. I'm humbled. Mm. I'm honored to be in this group with so many elite women. And they recognize women in medicine and other fields of life, you know, industry, business, and so on and so forth. And they kind of go through state by state. So I was first nominated in Washington State last year. And then they didn't tell me that they were putting my name in the pool for national. And then I got a recognition for national last year. And then I thought that was one and done, right? Until this happened this year, and I was completely taken by surprise, had no idea. But just feel blessed, very, very thankful. And again, you know, it's a journey, right? So it's the people that come in your aura that you help, that they help you. It's mutual. Nobody does this all on their own. I stand on shoulders that were strong enough to support me. And so thank you to everybody in my orbit and in my village and for the journey. And I'm blessed. And it motivates you to continue to do good work. It motivates you to kind of, you know, like you said, Jerry, put on your big girl pants and go to work, girl.
That's right. I told you that years ago.
Yes, you did. You
know, I'm giving you responsibility. Put on your big girl pants and do it.
And there you go.
And I have to share a little anecdote with the team upstairs. They wished me, and they're a wonderful, wonderful team. I love Mike Kirkland, everybody in that team. And they reached out and they said, you know, you go, we got your back. And and it's the journey that we will all take together. And so I share it with them, and I want to thank everybody that has been on this ride with me. So thank you all, and I appreciate each and every one of them.
Yay! Okay. Congratulations again. Dr. Umat, one of the top five women, 50 women leaders in medicine for 2024. Oh, top five. That's next year. Top five of the 50.
Right. I don't think there's that category.
Calling it now. I will make the category. Make the category. Well, let's give the phone number right away, because we are now getting some phone folks calling early in the show. They're realizing, wow, if I wait too long, I may not get through.
That is smart.
We'll put you in the phone queue. You can still listen to the show, and then we'll ask you. You get to ask the questions. So here is that number, because, of course, we are live in the studio. 800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. You have a question about your health or a recent diagnosis or just aging and you don't get it. What's happening to me? I'm getting slower. I'm gaining weight. I feel like I'm forgetting everything. Talk to the doctors. Let's find out what's going on. They are the experts, and we welcome your questions today. 1-800-465-8770. Okay, Dr. Mixon, I thought you for sure would be in shorts today.
It's a little cool in the morning.
It was a little cool, yeah.
We don't get sun in this room, right?
That's true, yes.
I've actually got my shorts laid out. When I get home, I will, you know, I'm wearing my short sleeve shirts.
Yes, you are.
And
you
I go. Will take off the Levi's and put on the shorts when I hit home, because that's what I'll wear out to lunch. I'm having some friends over, some French friends. Serving them meals is always interesting, because when we go to their house for dinner, the dinner lasts 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, wow. You know,
they serve one serving at a time.
Yes.
One. And
it is an event.
And
yes.
And
do they also prepare while they're serving and talking?
They're preparing and talking.
They're cooking. That's my Italian family. Yeah. Expect dinner to last for 4 hours.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, we always feel a little barbarian when they come to our house, because the Chinese don't do that. You know, everything comes out at once on the table.
That's
a big thing. And, you know, so we tend to eat and then get up from the table.
There you go. And move into another room and relax and talk.
But our French friends expect to stay at table.
Okay.
So we're having them for lunch. I don't know if we'll still be lunching at
dinner time.
Yeah. We have to wait and see.
We may text you just to see still at the table.
Ha yeah.
ha.
That's right.
Whoa.
Well.
So what are you? Of course, your wife is an amazing cook, specializing in the Chinese cuisine. So what will you be having? Do you know anything that you'll be having today to serve to your French friends?
Yeah. She has these. I don't know if you call them pickled, but they're certainly a sweet and sour tarted sliced cucumber. You get this cucumber, it looks like a slinky, where she's cut it so that it all hangs together, but it's all
you
these.
Pull it out like an accordion and slinky.
Right. And, you know, she makes these spare ribs, Chinese ribs that are so. they end up in the pressure cooker and then baked, and so they just kind of fall apart when you touch them, you know. But and then we'll be grilling some stuff. Okay. Of course, it is, you know, this is America. We have to grill on a Sunday.
You must grill, and you are going to bring some for us one day too, right?
Yes.
Yay. Will there be dessert? Is there a specialty?
There is a
Chinese people don't eat sugar.
No.
Okay, that's right.
But Bandine has made this interesting. She calls it a cookie. But it's only really solid if it's cold from the fridge.
Oh, okay.
But it has nuts and raisins and currants and little tiny pieces of other fruits all held together in this kind of gluey thing that is enrolled in powdered sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you have powdered sugar in your home?
She has powdered sugar.
I am shocked.
The only time I ever see it is when she makes these cookies.
Okay.
Quote, cookies.
So, I love that.
But yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm not much of a gourmet. I'm more gourmand. You know? I eat it for fuel.
There you go. So,
but yeah.
Yeah, some people eat to live and some people live to eat.
That's right.
And the Europeans certainly, you know, belong to the category where they love their food.
They do. And sitting down and enjoying it.
Thank you. This was in the blue zones, the people that lived, centenarians that lived to be 100 years. They were Japanese and Italians and Greek. And this was one of the things that came up, that they don't eat their meal in a rush like we do here.
No. Mm-hmm.
We're always rushing. We have to get to the next thing. We eat our breakfast in the car. We eat our lunch on the go. We eat standing up. But
we take our coffee with us.
Or in front of the TV. But they sit. They sit with people. They sit with family. They socialize. They engage. They discuss. They talk. And that, they said, that social component, the familiarity, the people that are here that will always help, that, you know, support, that is what they talk about as being an essential component to longevity, to living to be 100 years.
Wow.
Okay. So,
that's true. Yeah.
And there are others, like walking and exercise, you know, church and eating whole food and cooking together, like you're saying the French people do, right? They're cooking, they're preparing, they're serving one thing at a time, and they're eating. That whole togetherness is part of the longevity story.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I would say that's true.
Wow. Okay.
Whenever I have a meal with my Italian family, I know exactly what they're going to have. Have the same thing every time, which is a variety of things. So they have the appetizers out, the antipasta, you know, and you're grazing on that for a while, knowing that the entree is coming, which is always grilled. And then they bring that out, and then the salad, and then the sides. And, you know, and you're like, whoa, 3 hours later, then it's the desserts. And then when you think there's no more, by 9 o'clock at night, they're bringing out all the platters of grapes and fruits. So it is like a, you know, it starts at 4, ends at about 10, you know, and we're all outside, we're all talking and
yeah. Yeah, you know, once in a while it's okay. I don't know that people here could do it on a day-in, day-out basis.
We already are an average of 50 pounds overweight.
Yes.
The last thing we need is another 3 hours of eating a day.
Yes, yeah.
But the concepts of, you know, walking to everywhere we need to go, making it so that our cities are walkable, our places of living are close to where we work. And so those kind of concepts and some of those things I think we need to imbibe, and especially the component about whole food. Remember, food is nutrition. Food is life. And so we've all eaten, processed something or the other because it's convenient.
Yep.
And we all gravitate to it because we need to. Working moms. Mm. This is Mother's Day weekend. A shout out to our moms. You know, people do what they need to do for convenience. But I think if the philosophy is that we'll be together, we'll prepare together, then we might eat more holistic food. But it's very difficult for me to imagine that.
Well, part of that, though, is we have become a two-worker
family
culture.
Yeah.
You know, husband and wife both work in the vast majority of American households now.
Yeah.
You know, used to be one went out to work, one stayed home and did the home, and they prepared the meals.
Mm-hmm.
But the average wife does not have several hours a day to devote to cooking from scratch.
And going to the market and
three
picking out the fresh
day.
Things.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Oh, we're going to be back, and we would love to talk with you. Phone lines are wide open for you. Here is that number to get through, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Let's talk. Bring your questions to Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay right there. We have some good vibrations going on here today on Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there. Lynette in the studio with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. Real quick, Dr. Umat, we had our Heart Health Day at all
Thursday.
Three of the clinics. That was just, a couple days ago. How did that go?
It was busy. It was really well received. So thank you to everybody who participated with us.
Wonderful.
This was the first step, obviously, and the second step will be when we get your test results and our doctors get in touch with you and give you your reports back. But I think what it showed to me was that people are interested in knowing more about their heart health. They want to understand a little bit better. And we just opened the door so that they can now engage and ask the questions. You see, the technology is there. We do have the means. Not everything is very expensive. And you don't have to rely on your insurance carrier to pay for it so you can find out more. So I've seen, Jerry, many healthcare companies are reaching out to the public directly, to the consumer directly. Go ask your doctor to get this done.
Yeah.
It's an interesting twist to me where I come from. Everybody goes through physicians first, and the physicians disseminate the information.
Yes, that used to be the thing here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but it isn't anymore, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was that in heart health particularly, there's so much that we can do. So we were happy with the turnout. All three clinics were extremely busy, and we look forward to giving you the information and hopefully providing more quality to your life, more care, more attention to heart and what it can do, and improving your futures to come.
Wonderful. Very good. Thank you. And Dr. Mixon, let's talk medical news. What do you have for us this week?
You want to hear the good, the bad, or the stupid?
How about the ugly? No. Let me give that phone number again real quick before we jump in. 800-465-8770 with your questions for the doctors. Okay, Dr.
Okay.
Mixon.
Well, let me start with let's start with the stupid, just because that's always fun.
Yes, it is.
And, of course, as usual, we're poking fun at politicians.
I was waiting. Politics first.
Well, we had this issue, for instance, in Seattle, where they had the safe injection zones. The idea was not to keep you from rotting your brain with drugs, but for somehow to make it safer for you to rot your brain with drugs. Become a dysfunctional psychotic who had to live on the streets. And so, we set up some areas in Seattle where you could take your heroin and your fentanyl and all your other, self-destructive behaviors and could take your drugs in, quote, a safe place, because there'd be somebody there with some Narcan to help reverse your overdoses.
Well, and you had a clean needle, too.
And you had a clean needle,
like,
so you didn't get HIV. And, of course, the sheriff always asks kind of interesting question, which was, okay, I can't arrest them in their so-called safe zone, but what about when they're going to and from the safe zone and they're carrying their heroin through the rest of the street, through the rest of the city? Or do I have to ignore that too?
Yeah, because that used to be illegal.
Still is.
Still. Oh, okay.
But it's only in the safe zone can they use it. So what, do they magically pop into the safe zone? Or is the city selling them their narcotics in the safe zone? I don't know. And now we got a new one starting in San Francisco.
Oh, boy.
For those who are alcohol addicted.
Mm.
And the city of San Francisco is passing out free vodka shots to alcoholics to diminish the harms of the alcohol. They give them extra vodka. And purportedly, this is to keep them from going into withdrawal. You see, if they spend all their money on booze, they have no money to buy food or pay rent, and now they're even out of money to buy booze, and so the city gives them their booze, and it's free.
The government will do that for you. We'll take care of that.
Are you people totally insane?
Wow. Can't wait to see what they do with video game addictions. And
Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, that touches on the politically stupids today. Or is that, did I just use a redundancy? Politician and stupid. Anyway.
Synonym.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a stupid. So, yeah. What else you got for us, Dr. Vick? That's pretty good.
So let's go to some of the better ones.
Yes. We're shaking our heads. Give
you
us
know,
some
I was
news.
Asked a few months ago about Clotho. Mm-hmm. Somebody called in and said, you know, what do you know about Clotho? And I said, well, you know, there's some studies out there that I had read when it first came out in about 97 or so. Mm-hmm. And mostly animal studies. I haven't really seen any human stuff. But Clotho is a protein that we make, and healthy people make a lot more of it, and unhealthy people make a lot less of it. Young people make a lot. Old people don't make so much. Sedentary don't make as much as exercising people, yada, yada. The question in my mind has always been, is this a marker for good health, because healthy people have a lot of it, or is it an effector that promotes the good health, or some of each, you know? And so I have never done Clotho supplementation for myself or my patients, simply because I'm not sure if it does any good.
You know? Wow.
And, but we now have more and more animal studies where, you know, a single injection in animals that are bred to have kidney disease improves their kidney function. And so, you know, the question is, would supplementation with Clotho help humans with chronic kidney dysfunction? Lots of older Americans, especially diabetics, have kidney failure. You know, so would this be a way? We know that in animals that are genetically bred to have very low Clotho, they go into congestive heart failure frequently. And we know that humans in congestive heart failure have low Clotho. So, you know, but we now know that in the mice, in the rats, if we inject them with Clotho, their heart failure improves. They do better.
Wow.
So would it help to raise the levels in humans? Yeah. Probably. I mean, that's the next step. The biggest problem we've got is that all of the Clotho supplements out there are not really Clotho. They are botanicals and so on that are promoted to raise your production of Clotho, and they sell them as though they were actual Clotho. There is a company that is now a biotechnology company, because we have investigated, we know what the genetic sequence is that produces Clotho. We know what the human gene is. And so they are now putting that gene in yeast and causing the yeast to grow human Clotho protein, just like we did with recombinant growth hormone. This will now be recombinant human Clotho A protein, which is fascinating because I think the evidence is piling up that raising your Clotho does, in fact, act as an effector, not just a marker. For instance, we know that rapamycin raises Clotho levels. Mm. Estrogen raises Clotho levels. Mm. Testosterone raises Clotho levels. Exercise raises Clotho levels. Lean people make more Clotho than overweight people. The anti-senescent cell therapies, the dasatinib, quercetin, raises Clotho levels.
Is there a blood marker?
Clotho. You can actually measure it.
You can.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then people who are already doing many of the things that you mentioned, they may not need it because we can...
Yes, and that's kind of where my current thinking is. We don't really have pharmaceutical-grade Clotho that we can give people. We've got supplements that raise it, but we know that losing weight raises it, exercise raises it, you know, estrogen, testosterone, rapamycin, dasatinib, all of these things that we do for our people raises the Clotho. So one of the things I'm looking at, in fact, that's one of the reasons I tasked you a while back to say, you know, check with LabCorp, what would they charge us, you know, for Clotho levels. I'd like to be able to measure Clotho levels when people come in the clinic, for instance, see where their levels are, and then start our series of interventions and use this for one of the markers for improvement. And, you know, if you're going to go on rapamycin, wouldn't it be nice to measure your Clotho level before, then put you on the rapamycin and maybe the dasatinib anti-senescent therapy and see how high your Clotho levels go. If we have you on 6 milligrams of rapamycin, and if we raise you to 10 milligrams a week, would that raise your Clotho levels even more? You know, the problem with something like rapamycin is we don't have a marker. The same thing with the dasatinib. We don't have good markers to tell us, are you treating them too much, not enough, just right? So I'm looking at Clotho levels as a potential marker to at least tell us where we are.
Yeah.
And then if and or when the FDA approves real pharmaceutical grade Clotho as an injection, like they did growth hormone back in 88, that we may be able then to provide people with more.
Right.
Instead of jumping through all the intermediary hoops.
Sure. The only thing I'll add is right now with rapamycin, at least, we do look at labs for triglycerides, lipids, and sugar levels. So if they're rising.
Yeah, but those tend to go up instead of down. And yet the people do better with higher cholesterol and sugars on the rapamycin. So I'm looking for a marker that we can use that will tell us, are we making progress in our therapy or not? Because the problem with longevity medicine in human beings, as opposed to mice, you know, mice live an average of 25 months. You can give your intervention to a 20-month-old mouse, and, you know, you'll know in a few months whether they're living longer or not, because if they're toppling over at about 25 months, okay, it didn't help. And if they're living into the 30s, you've got a real significant improvement. With humans and our, you know, mid-70s to early 80s normal lifespan, it's a little bit tougher. And so, and human experimentation is a lot more expensive than mice. You can't just stick humans in a cage and, you know, feed them what you want them to have.
Well, in San Francisco, they're putting them in a safe zone.
That's true. Yes. So, you know, humans, it's a lot more difficult. So all we are doing with humans is we look at markers. We say healthy people have these markers, sick people have those markers, people who have a long life have these markers. Are our interventions improving their markers? We then assume that we may well be helping them to live longer. Mm. I'd rather know for sure.
Yes. Great conversation. Hey, we will continue with Dr. Mixon and Dr. You, Matt, and we're taking your calls. Drake, we're going to talk with you in just a moment. Let me give that phone number. So you have a question for Dr. Mixon, Dr. You, Matt. Here's the number to call today for Leading Edge Medicine. That's 800-465-8770. We're going to be right back. Stay there. Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Mixon and Dr. You, Matt, both the dancing king and queen. Woohoo! And this is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. The phone number to get through with your questions, just like Drake did, is 800-465-8770. Let's dive in. Drake from Woodinville, good morning.
Hello, Drake.
Good morning. Questions for you. So, back in December, 2023, I had what I thought was a heart attack, and I was whisked off to the emergency room by the paramedics there, and they spent a whole day evaluating me, had all the symptoms, but they concluded after a day's analysis, and then I spent the following day recovering as well, but they concluded that I had pericarditis. Okay, so that's fine. I had pericarditis, but in the process of making that determination, they did a scan and they noted that I had what they called an abnormal lytic sclerotic lesion on the vertebrae body of T11.
Okay.
So then they recommended that I do a PET scan, get a PET scan done. Well, I haven't done that yet. What I decided instead to do was in the middle of January, I'm a longevity patient, so I thought, well, I'll just do this Galleri test. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yep. And, Galleri, yeah.
Yeah, the Galleri. Galleri,
yeah, yeah, for cancer, yeah.
Yeah, and it came out fine. No problems, no cancers detected at all. All my blood work was perfect. And like I said, I'm a longevity patient there, and my doctor's fully informed there, and they're looking at everything, and they're saying no signs of cancer so far based on all that. So it's going to be expensive for me because of my health insurance setup. You know, I'm going to have to pay for the whole thing. I think it's like about $5,000 or $6,000. But so I'm just wondering, is it even worth it to do this? Or has the Galleri test pretty much ruled out any issues that this lytic sclerotic lesion would be problematic?
Okay, well, sclerotic bone lesions are always a reason to investigate. Osteosarcomas, these are bone cancers and tumors, sometimes show up as sclerotic bone lesions. So, you know, a good workup for the differential diagnosis. Infections, injuries. When bone is injured, when bone is traumatized in any way, it reacts in one of two ways. It either dissolves part of itself or it makes more of itself. Okay. And so if whatever has traumatized that particular vertebra has resulted in overgrowth, in extra calcium phosphorus complexes being laid down there. And the question is what? Mm. You know, is it old trauma? Mm-hmm. Is it fungal infections? Is it something else going on? Or worst case analysis, you know, are we seeing signs of a osteosarcoma, osteous cancer of some sort? So I don't think we can say that, you know, the Galleri test has ruled out everything.
Correct.
It is a screening test for 50 different cancers.
Right.
But whenever the Galleri is positive, it tells you here is an organ system you better look at, because right, we're getting proteins here that are consistent with a tumor.
Yeah. So Galleri, so first of all, I agree with Dr. Mixon. I do think that you do need to go ahead and do the investigations, because we don't know what this is. What you didn't mention anything about your current symptoms, though, Drake. Are you having any new symptoms, any change in symptoms, or was this just an incidental finding and you just know of it because of the cardiac issue last year?
Right. I don't see any symptoms that I'm having. I'm not having any back pain or anything
that. Good.
All right.
Good.
That's all good.
That's all good. So that said, Galleri is a blood test for early detection for cancer. What it looks for is cell-free DNA. And so what we recognize is that cancer cells make cell-free DNA, which is then sent into the bloodstream. The rate at which it is sent depends upon where the cancer is, how aggressive is it, and how quickly is it growing, and what is its blood flow. Obviously, as the cancer grows and its blood flow increases, the cell-free DNA increases. So once Galleri detects the cell-free DNA, then it goes through an AI algorithm and it tries to find out what is the site of origin of that DNA to tell us where is the signal coming from, so that we can begin investigations to look for that cancer. And what they've done is they've become very good at detecting some of the early signals. Sometimes they're good at early, and sometimes some cancers, like prostate cancer, is not very good with Galleri, and it really is very late found because it doesn't have that good of a blood supply. Okay? So when you get a negative test from Galleri, it doesn't really mean that there's no cancer. You still have to go screen for the other things that might potentially be lurking there.
It means the probability of there being a cancer is low, but
It doesn't rule it out.
That's right. It's not zero.
It's not zero. So for example, currently in the United States, we screen for 5 cancers only. We screen for breast cancer in mums, in women, cervical cancer, liver cancer, lung cancer, and colon cancers and prostate. And if you'd get a negative Galleri test, it doesn't mean you stop those screenings. We still continue with those screenings.
Well, and even if you don't have a cancer now, it doesn't tell us you won't have one in 5 years.
Well, Galleri actually recommends annual screening because the signal changes over time. Mm-hmm. And so if they didn't pick it up, then they want to do it again next year so that they can pick up the signal next year.
Well, but in his case, the Galleri was negative.
Yes.
So no signal was picked up.
Right.
But we have now a sclerotic bone lesion.
Yes.
And so we have a signal that something has traumatized that bone.
Yes.
Now the question is, what is traumatized?
Right.
What is traumatized?
Right.
Bone? And, you know, that will take some directed
investigation.
Yeah. And so one of the things is pretty simple, and that is to give it 6 months or so and go back and do a limited MRI or CT right of that vertebra.
Right.
And see, is it changing? Is it growing? Is it shrinking? You know, what kind of change is there, if any?
Well, some of these are slow growing as well, Jerry. So if they suggested that he do a PET scan, I'd say go do a PET scan.
Sure. But did they suggest a PET? Did I miss that?
Yes, they did.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, and so the positron emission scan is going to be more precise than even the MRI.
Yeah.
So that's gonna give them more information.
Okay. Well, I've got one scheduled. I just was thinking, is it even necessary to go through with it?
Yep. If I have sclerotic lesions on my bones, I want to know why. You know, it could be just that I beat the hell out of it sometime in the past, and that's the way it reacted.
Right, and let's hope it's just that. But you know. I think you should find out. Yeah.
Is there any way that they can tell when it arrived, so to speak?
No,
they won't.
Yeah,
right.
That's absolutely right.
That's right.
But we can't, you know, we can't go back in the Wayback Machine and say, yep, here it is 10 years ago.
No, and then what will happen is if everything is fine, you do the PET scan right now, then I would recommend frequent investigations to make sure, you know, the MRI again or the scan again to make sure that it's not increasing or getting worse. So, you know, you're on top of it, right? Because it's such a slow growing tumor.
Yes.
If it comes to that, but I would still want to know if it's screening, is it getting bigger? Is it changing in size?
But it doesn't have to be a tumor. There's a lot of other stuff can give you a sclerotic lesion on that bone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. It's just the doctors are designed, we are trained to look for two things. What's the most common, ergo the most likely, and then what is the worst? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to miss the worst.
That's right.
Even if it's rare.
I know. We keep hoping it's rare. We hope that it's negative, but we have to look for it.
You got it.
So there could be lots of reasons for that.
Yes.
Yes.
Cancer is not necessarily one of them.
That is exactly right.
Well, cancer is one of them, but it's not necessarily the one it is.
Right.
Okay, but we have to bear it in mind as a possibility while we look to see what the heck is it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty. Very good.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Yeah. Take care, Mary.
Thanks for your call, and good luck to you. Mm-hmm. Keep us informed.
Yes. Let us know what's going on. We love the updates. A lot of folks are asking about doing different tests or that they might have this or that. Call us and let us know. We'd love to hear the good news, and hopefully if there is some news that's not so good, the doctors can point you in the direction of what you can do as you're going through that. Yep. Here's that number to call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'd love to talk with you and find out what's going on. So longevity, of course, sponsors Leading Edge Medicine. We're always doing something new around here, that's for sure. And one of the things that isn't so new that we've been doing that we invite you to do is our free health analysis appointment. We're still doing that. Just a couple of tests to find out what is going on with your body. We want to see what you're at risk for. Right, Dr. Umat? And these two tests, pretty simple, right?
Yeah, they are. That free word got to me, and I've been trying to tell Jerry to stop that free thing.
Yes. No, you better do it while you
he
can.
He hasn't listened to me yet.
I'm listening. I'm considering, too.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, it's simple. It's easy. Mm-hmm. It gets you started on the journey. And remember, it is a journey. You have to really be in the mindset that you're going to put your health first and that you want to know more about where you are in your health today, and you want to measure objective data, and you want to use that objective data to improve your physiology, your metabolic systems, and reduce your risk for disease that may be lurking around the corner. And remember, age is the number one risk factor for disease. We are all getting older. The likelihood of us getting into trouble is increasing just by the sheer fact that we're getting older. And the free tests are just a quick hello, come on in. Let's take a look mm-hmm. at where your in-body is and what is your hemoglobin A1C. These are easy things for us to measure, and they give us a wealth of information that gives us a little peek into what's happening inside your body. But the real information comes from the big blood draw that is $595. Mm-hmm. And that it will allow you 1 hour of physician time to go over the test results. And that's where we give you more information about what we really see that's changing in the physiology, because physiology is good, but it can be better. So how do we make it better for you?
All right. You can still, while we still have it available for free, call and get that free health analysis appointment. Come meet our staff, see our beautiful facilities, and be introduced to longevity. You don't need to keep putting this off. This is very important. Come in and make your appointment. Here is that number to call. You can do that right now. 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to lmclinic.com. That is lmclinic.com. We need you to call and make that appointment at one of our three clinics in Tacoma, Linwood, or at our beautiful new facility in Kirkland. All right. We're going to take a break. Phone lines are open for you. Give us a call and talk to the doctors. Leading Edge Medicine continues.
I feel like a woman.
I still think that to fit into the Seattle culture and ethos, that song should be sung by a guy with a deep voice.
You know? Oh, Shania Twain. So it'd be Shane Twain.
Shane Twain, yes.
Shane Twain, her younger brother. Wow. All right. Leading Edge Medicine here on the radio. It's a sunny, beautiful day. Maybe you're getting your walk in early, and we're looking for some calls today. We'd like to talk to you about your health as you are aging and some of the things that happen. And it is such a beautiful day. I had to look at my clock a couple times. It was so light outside to make sure that I was like, this is the right time, right? A lot of people taking advantage of that because
well, the rains are back next week, so yes. We might as well.
And it's another warm day today, not as warm tomorrow, but yeah, wanting to get out before it my son-in-law came in yesterday and goes, oh, it's so hot. 81 degrees.
It's interesting. You know, everybody here says that. The minute the sun comes out, everybody's looking for the shade.
Yes.
My daughter was at her fencing club yesterday evening, and she said, oh, Dad, I don't know if I can stay. I said, I'm so hot. And because she's in all of her fancy gear.
Yes, good reason.
She's got
to
her
be hot.
Protectors and her breastplate, and then her jacket and her gloves and her helmet. And so it is pretty muggy in that all that outfit. But on the other hand, she did extremely well, and she whipped several people that usually beat her.
Mm.
So she was just kind of floating. She came home last night and said, hey, guess who I beat today?
Yes.
Including one of the men, one of the guys who usually outmuscles her by a major margin, because he's adolescent male, about 14 years old, and
wow,
just turned 12 as a girl.
Yes.
So she can't keep up with him, simple strength wise
yeah.
But she said, Dad, you taught me to shoot for the hand and the arm. He said, it doesn't matter how strong he is. When his arm comes out to hit me, I hit his arm.
Yeah. He's not a proud dad at all, is
not
he?
At all. I think he's beaming. Dr. Mixon is really
beaming.
He's
just blushing.
Right now.
I've taught my daughter that accuracy, speed, and aggression. Those are the three when it comes to many things in life.
Okay.
You know, speed, accuracy, and aggression. Yeah. Don't all be right. passive. Don't wait for them to come to you. Go get them.
Go do it.
All right.
Dive
that.
Right in.
Take it
I
out.
Did. ASA, accuracy, speed, and aggression.
Yep.
There we go. All right. Okay. Well, we're waiting for that next call at 800-465-8770. Here we are headed into summer. What are some things we can do, Dr. Umat, as we are aging? You know, people want to be outside. They want to be doing some things.
Sunblock.
Sunblock for sure.
That certainly, and that is one of my failings.
Yeah.
I do not wear nearly enough sunblock, or I don't wear it often enough.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have it on right now. Why I'm shiny. You taught me, Dr. Umat, wear it every day. You probably have your
Yeah, but you know,
sunscreen.
The other things, too, is making sure that you stay hydrated because mm-hmm. people forget. And sometimes we, as we get older, the thirst and hunger receptors get confused and you think you're hungry when you're really thirsty. So make sure you hydrate yourself very, very well. Electrolytes and maintaining electrolyte balance is mm-hmm. important. And you know, I'm very fond of a couple of supplements that we carry. One of them is our Optimal Minerals, which provides an essential blend of minerals. So during the summer months when people are not eating well, I really tell them to make sure they take the foundations, they take their minerals, and then magnesium. I really think that we overlook magnesium deficiency or decrease amount of magnesium as we get older, and it contributes to muscle aches and pains and muscle spasms.
And high blood pressure.
Yeah, and then when you replace that, then it really does help. It makes a big difference. Muscles are relaxed, so you sleep better, you're not so achy or painful. And I do like it. And at longevity, Dr. Mixon has created Muscle Relief, which mm-hmm. has magnesium in it, 150 milligrams. I'm very fond of that supplement. And then, of course, finally, you know, Relief Factor and or Omegas, whichever one you like. And then, Jerry, you've come out with a new version of the Relief Factor. I've heard one or two of my patients who have it tell me they really like it.
Yeah, I've got a new, we're going to call it Relief Factor Ultra. Mm-hmm. You know, Relief Factor works for a whole lot of people. But there are some folks that it just is not strong enough for them. They just need more help. So what I've done was I doubled the amount of curcumin. I added piperine to increase absorption by about 20-fold to start with. And I added astaxanthin, so there are now 5 instead of 4 anti-inflammatory compounds in there. So hopefully that will be on the market by about October.
Mm-hmm.
We're having difficulty getting the soft gels made.
Mm-hmm.
Adding the astaxanthin to the soft gel, it has a different coefficient it's a different density. And so when you put the omega-3 fatty acids in with the astaxanthin, they don't blend together. They separate.
Oh.
And so, you know, we're having difficulties getting a pill that looks acceptable.
Right. Mm. You know, in the meantime, I'm very fond of astaxanthin, so thanks for mentioning that. You know, it's a really important to help build muscle mass. And as we're getting older, we do tend to lose muscle mass. So we do carry astaxanthin separately in the clinics. Mm, you can obviously get that. But the importance is that it is also an antioxidant, and it helps with many other antioxidant functions also. Mm-hmm. So there are a few things that I do think as summer is rolling around, you want to kind of keep in your backpack and make sure you're paying attention to them, especially just because it's warmer, you're going to lose sweat, you're going to get hot, and you're going to kind of cramp up your muscles a little bit. Mm-hmm. So just to keep limber and lax. And, you know, in the summertime, people hike and walk and bike more, so they're outdoors more.
Yeah.
So just a little extra pays a lot to continue to enjoy the summer months.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
So what we're going to do with the new Relief Factor Ultra is, since the Relief Factor works well for a whole lot of people, We will start folks on that.
Okay.
We won't market the Ultra separately, really.
So it won't be replacing what you already have.
No, and it's there as a step up. If you,
okay.
If you start with the relief factor and you don't get the relief you need, then you step up to the, because when we add twice as much curcumin and the piperine and the astaxanthin, the price goes up. Mm-hmm. Because the cost goes up.
Yeah, you're putting more items into it.
Yeah. So if the older version with four anti-inflammatories does the job, then why would you pay extra money for five anti-inflammatories and a double dose of one of the four?
There you go. Okay.
It's more expensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it runs the cost up another $10 or $15 a month. And yeah. So, you know, you don't want to do that. So it's there as a step up for folks.
Okay.
That's all.
And we'll see that soon, we hope, in the fall.
Yeah, somewhere in the fall.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. We are talking to Robert, who is calling from Seattle. Good morning, Robert. Have you been outside yet?
No, but I'm looking out the window.
Oh, it looks nice, huh? Yes. Right. How can we help?
Well, I just have a comment first and then a question. A comment is, I called in a couple times in the past about my recent diagnosis of Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's mild. My gastroenterologist says it's a mild case.
Good.
But it doesn't feel mild. And I've always had problems with loose stools the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so the comment I'd like to make is that I tried something going on a liquid diet. And for people out there who are suffering something like Crohn's or, I don't know, maybe other stomach diseases, but after about 3 or 4 days of drinking Ensure, my stools all returned to normal like I was 14 years old. I don't know if that'll apply to everybody else.
Wow.
But a liquid diet of what they call EN did just absolutely amazing things for me, and I'm hard to fool. So I know it works visually any other way. The question I have is, I was thinking about taking some rapamycin, went on the UK Crohn's Forum site, and mentioned rapamycin. They don't know anything about it, you know, much about it in the way of stomach issues. They all just pretty much said, well, don't take anything that works in monkeys, and not a good idea. And one thing I noticed, though, that they gave me kind of question, and you probably don't, I no one probably knows the answer to this, but I noticed that the side effects of rapamycin are what they call, I can't pronounce it, but it's ALPHOUS, Alphys mouth ulcers. Ulcers of the mouth. Yeah. But that's the same side effects with rapamycin. That makes me very curious. I mean, if I take the rapamycin, it would be like getting double dose of side effects that maybe I don't want.
And that may be true. I have not seen any studies on rapamycin and Crohn's disease. So, you know, I have to plead ignorance. You know, rapamycin is a fascinating drug. Most of the research has been done in non-human subjects. But on the other hand, we have tens of thousands of humans on rapamycin because they're using it to prevent organ rejection in transplant patients. Mm-hmm. So people that have had kidney transplants and lung transplants and that sort of thing use rapamycin, and they're getting good results. They're finding that their risk of developing cancers is much, much lower than the transplant patients that are not on rapamycin. So it cuts the risk of getting cancer significantly. In every animal we've ever tried it on, it extends the lifespan by 12% to 15%, which is, you know, significant. If you're an adult or a human was going to die at 80 and we can get you an extra 10 or 11 years, that's, that's significant.
Yeah.
But,
I hear the music. Yep. Hey, Robert, would you hang on the line and we'll continue talking about this?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
You stay right there. We will take a quick break. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back with hour number two and your phone calls. Here is the number to get through to the doctors. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We will be right back after this break.